In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. Our Lady, the Immaculate Heart, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And just as a reminder, Volume 14, 7, 10, 1922. These are important. There's a few very, very important passages that remember that. Just mark that down. And when you get a chance in front of the Blessed Sacrament, read it, reread it. Let Jesus show you what he's got planned. Okay, now we're on Volume 14, 7, 20, 1922. All the truths, all the effects, all the values, all the knowledges, all the promises that I have given to you, Louisa, that I've manifested to you, Louisa, have been as many oceans, these seas by which you have been surrounded. And yet more seas, more oceans shall I continue to extend. So we haven't seen anything yet. It's a whole new beginning for Christ and his church. We haven't seen anything yet. This is why our God is asking us to begin to live this abundant life. So courage, my daughter. All this is necessary to the divine sanctity of living in my divine will. Why? To generate a divine likeness between me and the soul. So I did with my mother Mary. I did not tolerate even one little pain or act or good that I did in which Mary, the Blessed Mother, would not participate. Okay, so Jesus is showing us that. That's why he wanted her on Calvary to watch him die. One was the will of that animated us, Mary and Jesus, as Jesus and Mary. Therefore, when I suffered deaths and pains, or when I operated, Our Lady would die, suffer, operate together with me. In her soul, she was to be my faithful copy, in such a way that in reflecting myself in the Blessed Mother, I was to find another me. Now, what I did with my mother Mary, I want to do with you and us. After the Blessed Mother, I place you, Louisa, and us linked to Louisa. I want the Most Holy Trinity to be veiled upon earth, myself, my mother, and you. So again, with these words that Jesus is telling Louisa, we want to fuse ourselves with the Holy Trinity. Okay. Now Jesus says the Father wanted the reflection of the Holy Trinity on earth. So the Father, when we say in the morning, our prevenient act, I want to fuse myself with you, Lord. I want to be one with you, Lord. What happens at that point? God says, how are you going to do it? And you go, I'm going to do it the way you taught Louisa, to fuse myself with you, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. So for the Father, if we read Volume 17, May 4th, 1925, under the paternity of the Father is the maternity of Mary. Under Jesus, Son of God, is Jesus, Son of Mary. Under the Holy Spirit is Louisa and the children linked to Louisa. I want the Most Holy Trinity to be veiled upon earth, this reflection of the Holy Trinity on earth, by myself, my mom, and you. So a new way of understanding your prevenient act is to fuse yourself with the Trinity. Why? Jesus, God the Father says, how are you going to do it? I'm going to fuse myself the way you taught Louisa, Jesus, Mary, Louisa. I'm going to fuse myself with Jesus, Mary, Louisa. And then the Father is going to say, why are you going to do this? So that I can be fused in creation, redemption, and sanctification as Jesus, Mary, and Louisa possess creation, redemption, and sanctification. Not in their will, but in Father's holy divine will. Then he goes, why are you doing this? So that I can live in the divine will as you wish. And then the Father says, good. You're learning. You're learning. And that's what we're doing. There's nothing set in stone of prayers. As we pray 100 million years from now, as Jesus is revealing to us his divine will, we're going to be more aware of what God is asking of us. This goes on for all eternity. It's that the beatific vision, as St. Thomas Aquinas said, is we'll be in the awe of God for all eternity. God is so amazing. He's so perfect. He's so loving. He's so God. That's what we're going to do. So another new way of doing our prevening act is fusing ourselves with the Holy Trinity by fusing ourselves with Jesus and Mary Louisa. So we fuse ourselves in the round when we do our rounds of creation, redemption, and sanctification. Why? So we can enter fully one day this great gift of the divine will. So volume 14, 4, 17, 19, 22. Daughter of my divine will, this light that you see is nothing other than my divine will that wants to consume your human will in order to give you the shape of our divine image. That is, of the three divine persons. In such a way that transforming you completely into ourselves, we, triune God, shall leave in you our divine will as the divine actor that matches us, triune God, in whatever we do. That's what Adam had before the fall. So our images shall come out from us and our will and acting in you, and this is now Louisa and now the little children, the holy divine will, you shall assume as many of them. Oh, how the purpose of creation shall be fulfilled. The echo of our divine will shall be the echo of our holy divine will, possessed by you, Louisa, and possessed by the little children, the holy divine will. The exchanges shall be mutual. Divine love shall be reciprocal. It's not going to be human love anymore. It's because Jesus is going to be in us. Mary is going to be in us as we link ourselves to Louisa. And we shall be in full harmony. The creature shall disappear within our creator. Where that drop of water entering into the cup filled with wine. That drop of water is us. It's nothing. The cup filled with wine, as that drop enters, it fuses and diffuses, and that drop of water becomes wine. What happens here? The creature shall disappear within our God. We'll be one with God as God originally planned. That's why he created us. Image and likeness. And then nothing else shall be lacking to our joy. I will give you my joy so that your joy may be complete. Oh, to our happiness for which we issued in creation, the let us make man in our image and likeness, we shall have its effect. And our divine will alone, as actor in the creature, shall give completion to everything. And creation shall bring us, triune God, the divine purpose. And we, triune God, shall receive the divine purpose into our womb as our work. That's mankind. And just as we issued it. Great things are in store. Great things are happening. Again, there's no doom or gloom for us. God is going to do this, and he's asking us, are you willing to participate in what I am going to bring to the earth? Volume 14, 6, 9, 19, 22. My beloved, how much love I feel toward you, all the love that I should give to others that they refuse. So here Jesus is saying, all this love that I want to give to all mankind, most, if not all mankind, refuses it. So he says, I'm going to give it to somebody, and I'm going to centralize it in you, Louisa. Why? Because in you, Louisa, I hear the echo of my creative word. Let us make man in our image and likeness. And I, God, can see the fulfillment of it in you, Louisa. We're going to see that too. We're going to see the fulfillment of God, image and likeness, when we see Louisa. Our divine will alone makes man, humanity return to his first origin. Our divine will shall cast all the divine impressions into the human will, an overwhelming one will with the other. It shall carry humanity on its wings into the arms of its creator, not ugly as sin rendered him, but again, pure and beautiful, similar to his creator, to his God. Therefore, I, Jesus, want you, Louisa, and the souls linked to Louisa, to receive all the impressions of my divine will in your human will. So Jesus is saying, what's coming is going to astonish mankind. I want to receive all the impressions of my divine will into yours, so that heaven and earth may recognize nothing but divine will alone acting in you, by which they shall feel, listen to this, as though overwhelmed. That's why the earth is going to shake. And all shall receive the good of the divine operating in Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. Therefore, be ready. Get ready in everything and be faithful to me, Jesus says. What does that faithfulness mean? Read, study, and put into practice these truths that I'm giving to you. Volume 14, 7, 24, 19, 22. Such is the correspondence, nothing other than the opening of the eyes of the soul. So that's what God is doing. He's opening the eyes of our soul. As the soul opens their eyes, this divine light comes to mind. It is my image, is reflected in everything that the soul thinks, says, and does. Copying me, Jesus, faithfully, in such a way that she does nothing other than receive continuous divine light from God so as to convert her whole being into light. Remember, you are the light of the world. What is Jesus saying here? What is Jesus showing us? It's nothing other than beginning to live this abundant life, image and likeness of God, as God originally planned. He has redeemed us, and for 6,000 years, the evil one has been in control. 2,000 years since redemption, the evil one has been in control of this earth, even though God won. God was victorious. What did the evil one say in 1884? He said that the Pope Leo XIII heard, give me 100 years. Why did he say only 100 years? First of all, pride, I think. But secondly, he knew his time was up. He probably says, give me the last 100 years. So what's happened since 33 years later with the miracle of the sun? What does he do? He says, she's going to crush my head. He knows that something's coming. She's going to crush my head. It's like mother, like daughter, Jesus says. So what does he do? He starts the Russian Revolution, killing, killing, killing for the last 100 years. I mean, in 1920, the Soviet Union basically promoted abortion, first country in the world to do that. And then China promoting abortion. And then the United States promoting abortion. It's to kill the children of God, to eliminate the children of God. Our job is to recognize that what God is doing in God's image and likeness is something it's going to convert the whole world into divine light as God wanted from the beginning. This is what God has planned. So volume 14, 728, 1922. My divine will in me and my divine will in you, Louisa, must blend together and have the same interminable boundaries. But I need, Jesus says, that your human will be willing to extend within mine. So Jesus is saying, are you willing to do this? Basically, your human will is a rusty penny, Jesus says. Give me your rusty penny. Blend it with my billions. Give me your rusty penny that you're not yours anymore, your human will, so that you're not in charge of it anymore, so that I will give you billions of gold doubloons. I want you to be filled with gold. And what we say to God is, if I give you my rusty penny, I won't have it anymore. God goes, yeah, that's right. Give it to me and I'll fill you with gold. He goes, but if I don't have it anymore, I don't have my worry, my fear, my anxiety, my complaints. I don't know if I can do that. Jesus says, I need that your human will be willing to extend within mine and that not one thing created by me, God, escape it, so that all things may enter the echo of the divine will in the human will, and I, God, may generate my divine likeness in the soul. See, my daughter, I suffered double deaths for each creature, one of love, one of pain. And I had to repay my divine father for this lack of love, and I had to accept a death of love for each soul, and another death of pain for each offense, for each offense. I would not want, would you not want my divine likeness? Would you not accept the deaths of love as you accepted the death of pain? And my Jesus, Louisa says, I don't know what happened to me. I still feel great repugnance for having accepted those pains. How could I accept those of love? that seem harder to me. So here, Luisa is the first one next to the Blessed Mother who is understanding the death of love and the death of pain. She says, I feel so horrible, you being crucified. How can I accept the deaths of love if I still feel so horrible? She says, I feel still a great repugnance for having accepted those pains. How could I accept the pains of love, which seem harder, more difficult to me? Poor daughter of mine, courage. Remember, those were the first words of Pope Benedict. Courage, you must be courageous. The first words of Pope John Paul II was, do not be afraid. First words of Benedict, be courageous. Do not fear. I do not want to trouble you yourself because of the repugnance you feel. Rather, in order to reassure you, I tell you that this too is likeness to me. So this is what God is asking of us. You must know that also my holy humanity, as holy as it was and immensely eager to suffer, felt this repugnance. But it was not my own. Those were all the repugnances that creatures would feel in doing good, in accepting the pains that they deserve. So the repugnance that you feel is not your own. It is the echo of mine, Jesus says. If it were yours own, your own, I would have withdrawn from you. See, nothing is Luisa's anymore. Luisa's the true victim. Nothing belongs to her. Everything belongs to Jesus. And that's what God is asking of us. Are you willing to enter into this victimhood of no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more? Are you willing to do this? Therefore, my daughter, since I, God, want to generate for myself another image of myself, I want you to accept it. That's what God is saying to us. I want to generate from myself another image of myself. And you who are reading the Book of Heaven, are you willing to accept it? Do you want to accept it? And when we say fiat, God goes, good, I'll take care of it. I myself want to mark these, my death of love in your human will, expand and consumed within mine. So we're never going to do anything alone anymore. It's not for us. It's not for, you know, we're nobodies. We're nothings. God is everything. When you know, somebody says, oh, I'm terrible, I'm awful. There's three voices. There's the voice of our voices. What do I do? What do I do? How do I do this? Where am I going? What's going on? That's why you need a spiritual director. The other voice is the one of the evil one. You're no good. You know, I know you. Do you think God, that's what happens at the end of our life. The demons are right there. Their demons are right there. And they're saying to us, you know, I know you. Do you think God wants you? It's throwing despair, misery, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. And then there's the third voice, which is Jesus. It's Jesus's voice. You're my child. I have created you for God. You're going to be my divine masterpiece. We've got to begin to listen to that voice. Listen to Jesus. How do we hear it? Read the Book of Heaven. He's always talking to us. He's always giving us promises. He says very, very clearly, expand and consume everything within me. Volume 14, 1922. So, since I, Jesus, have called you to my likeness, what is the wonder if while you feel me within you, you see me as the spectator of your pains that I myself inflict upon you, and you feel as though separated from me. So here Jesus is teasing Luisa here. Yet your pain is nothing but a shadow of mine, just as my holy humanity was never separated from my divinity. So I assure you, now this is to us as well, the physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings that you're going through. I assure you that you are never separated from me, Jesus says, unless you sin. These are the effects that you feel. But then more than ever do I form one single thing with you. And that's what God wants us to know. He's forming one single thing with us. He's needing us to turn to him. He needs us to really begin to live this abundant life. Volume 14, 8, 6, 1922. My daughter, all things have equal weight for me. The weight of heaven is equal for me to that of earth. The divine will contains perfect balance. Balance brings order, regime, utility, harmony, all things harmonize together as if they were one single thing. Order brings equality. Equality brings likeness. And this is why there is so much harmony, so much order, so much likeness in the three divine persons. And all created things are in perfect harmony. One is the support, one is the strength, one is the life of the other. Just as one created thing disharmonized, all others would tumble and end up in ruin. Now, that's one of the things that is important about sin. When we commit sin, we affect the earth. The floods, the famines, the plagues, the earthquakes, the tornadoes, the hurricanes are because of sin. That's what Jesus is showing us. If one thing, that's us, humanity, is disharmonized, we are not one in the divine will of God, all the others would tumble and end up in ruin. So our job is not to continue to sin. Our job is to basically die so that we are free of sin. So how do you die and become free of sin? That's no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity. That's the victimhood that God is calling us to. That's what we're called to die to. Once that happens, little by little, what's going to happen is the kingdom is going to be established in us on earth as it is in heaven. So again, the motorcycle groups, they put to live is to die. It's to live in the divine will is to die to the human. It's to live in God. That's what God is asking. Only man, Jesus says, moved away from us, trying God, from the balance of our divine will. By living in my divine will, you, Louisa, and the little children linked to you, Louisa, shall balance yourself, and you shall be in order and in perfect harmony with us, triune God. That's what's coming. And with all things created by us, triune God. That's why you fuse yourself within creation. Everything out there is an I love you that God wants us to participate in. He wants us to possess this I love you, to breathe in this I love you with your eyes, your ears, your nose. Breathe this in, all the I love yous that are out there. And then Jesus in you will give God the Father all the glory and honor from a divine perspective. When I hear people going, I'm doing a divine act. No, humans don't do divine acts. Jesus in us does that. If we are really under the new Adam and the new Eve, if we really participate in this abundant life, then Jesus is doing it. And he's graciously allowing us to participate in this. He says very, very clearly, you shall be in order and perfect harmony with us, triune God, and with all created things created by us, triune God. 14, volume 14, 9:9, 19:22. I want my reflector on earth so that in looking at it, I may see inside of you, Louisa, as though in a mirror, the creation I created in heaven and that my holy humanity enclosed. And in reflecting myself in this mirror, I may recognize creation in you. And we shall be in continuous reflections between you and me. I shall make creation be reflected in you and you and me. From heaven, you from earth, I from heaven, you from earth. Then shall my love be content when I see a soul, not only in the image of my holy humanity, but all that my divinity operated in my holy humanity. Therefore, be attentive. To me, that's read. Be attentive and follow my divine will. So again, that was the very first thing I heard back in 1976. You will look to the heavens as if in a mirror and see God. That's what he's saying here. Look to the heavens, look to the creation as if in a mirror and see God reflected in us. We're supposed to participate in all of creation, all of redemption, and now all of sanctification. And we were predestined to live at this time to accomplish what God has planned. God is doing this. This is a glorious time. Therefore, be attentive, read, study, put this into practice, and follow my divine will. Volume 14, 10, 6, 1922. All human acts, according to the purpose of creation, were to have life in my holy divine will and form in the divine will their plane of all human acts changed into divine acts. See, image and likeness. With the mark of the supreme nobility, supreme sanctity, supreme wisdom, it was not our will that man withdrew from us, but that Adam live with us, growing in our divine likeness, operating with our own divine manners. This is why I, God, wanted that all of his acts be done in my divine will, to give Adam the place in which to form his own little river, this ocean with the immense sea of my divine will. So remember, Jesus says, from within you will flow infinite oceans, infinite rivers of life. The life is not human life. It's divine life that God wants us to participate in. And when Adam sinned, he basically said to God, I'm going to do what I want. Get out. And we've been like that since until Jesus came to redeem us and Mary co-redeemed with him on Calvary. Once that happened, we were freed from the slavery of the evil one. And now 2,000 years later, Jesus says, now finally, I found a soul who's living the Catholic life, living the universal life, so I can give back to mankind what Adam lost completely. Now sanctification is coming. That's why we were born for this time. It's a new era that's begun, and God is asking us, pleading with us, are you willing to begin to live this abundant life? This is glorious. Volume 14, 11, 11, 22. Therefore, all the operating of creatures swims inside my divine will, like fish swim inside a vast sea. However, having created Adam, not a slave, but free, because it would not have been decorous for us nor a work worthy to come out of our hands if I, God, had delivered Adam hampered without freedom. Or could I have said, let us make him in our image and likeness if I had not made him, Adam, free? I wanted to endow Adam with freedom. I was free. Free was he also to be. Do you see where each created thing, every even one thought has its origin? It's in the sanctity of my divine will. So God is saying, use your free will to choose this. And again, he's not going to force us. If we say, hey, I'll take it, but I only want 10%. God goes, then that's all you get. If you say, I want 100%, God says, okay, how much do you want this? Is this the center of your life, the life of Jesus and Mary through Louisa? Is this going to be a new beginning for you where you are going to return to my image and likeness? God gives us everything that we want. He really does. What a great God we have. Volume 15, 425, 1923. Man shall always be free. I shall never take away from him the rights I gave him in creating him. Only in redemption I came to open many ways, small paths, shortcuts to facilitate salvation, the sanctity of man. With my divine will, Jesus says, I will come. See, this is the day we're waiting for. To open the royal and straight way that leads to the divine sanctity of the divine likeness of their God. This is what's coming. This is the great day that's coming. And that contains true divine happiness. But in spite of all this, they shall always be free to remain, some on the royal way, some on the small paths, and some completely outside. However, in the world, there shall be what now there is there, for now is not there. In the world, there shall be what is now not there. Now is not there. Okay, it's coming. So when people say, oh, I live in the fullness of the divine will, I'm sorry, the day hasn't happened yet. It's like getting we're given a ticket, but the concert hasn't started. God is saying, come on in, get a seat. You want to sit close? You want to sit up in the balcony? You want to sit near the beer place? Do you want to sit? He's telling, where do you want to sit? The ticket, basically, Jesus shows us, is the book of heaven. We were baptized. We're now in God's image. The likeness of God comes from the book of heaven. That's what Jesus tells Louisa. And that's what we're learning. We're learning how to do this. He says, however, in the world, there shall be what now is not there. And what is not there is the divine happiness of the fia voluntas tua on earth, exactly the way it's in heaven. 5:15, 5:2, 19:22, 19:23. See then how all the goods of man, of humanity, find again their connection. The tight bond of the let us make man in our image and likeness. The validity of each of his acts, the restitution of the lost goods, everything's going to be repaired. Everything's going to be reordered, as well as the signature and the assurance that his lost happiness, both terrestrial and celestial, is given back to mankind, to humanity. Everything's going to be validated. When the concert begins and we're going to go back to where we were before the fall. That's what God has planned. Therefore, it is so necessary that my divine will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that I, Jesus, had no other interest, nor did I, Jesus, teach any other prayer but the Our Father. And the church, faithful executor and depository of my divine teachings, has it always, always on her lips in every circumstance. And everyone, learned and ignorant, little and great, priests and lay people, kings and subjects, all pray to me that my divine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Archbishop Piccieri said that Luisa is the one who fulfills this. Luisa shows how the Our Father is fulfilled. 5:15, 5:5, 19:23. This divine operating forms within her a golden heaven where the divinity strolls, delighting in finding his own operating in mankind, in humanity, awaiting that mankind, in order to receive Luisa, she's the first one born of original sin who's there, her divine acts, and therefore opens more ways for Luisa within his divinity. So Jesus is fully alive in Luisa, the new Adam and the new Eve. Mary is fully alive in Luisa. And he keeps repeating with his great love, behold, here is how in my divine will the creature comes closer to my likeness, accomplishes my designs, fulfills the purpose of creation. This is why he says to us, look at Luisa. This is why I created man. So that mankind can be in my image and likeness. Finally, there's someone who lives this abundant life. Behold, here is how my divine will, in my divine will, the soul comes closer to my creation. The soul accomplishes my designs. The soul fulfills the purpose of creation. This is Luisa. 5:15, 7:11, 19:23. The woman, Eve, was the incitement, the cause for which man fell into his misfortunes. And we, Triune God, want to make use of the woman in order to put things back in order, to let humanity out of his misfortunes and give back to humanity decorum, honor, our true likeness, just as he was created by us. So he says, my mother brought redemption for their fiat mihi. You, Luisa, you're going to God is going to use you to put everything back in order. Now, here's the firstborn, redeemed by Jesus, the new Adam, Mary, the new Eve. Here's Luisa. He says, you're going to put back, everything's going to be back in order. Mankind is going to come out of his misfortunes. What does that mean? No more worry, no more fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin. It's gone. That's what we're working for. We're getting to that point. So when that new day comes, when that abundant life comes upon earth, like I said to these Carmelite, these nuns, I said, the divine will, I'm going to read something to you that's going to knock your socks off. And the one little sister said, but Father, we don't wear socks. I went, well, God's already talking to you. Wait till you see what's coming. This is such a glorious thing that our God has given to us. Therefore, be attentive. And do not take things lightly. Listen to what Jesus says. Don't take this lightly. when you make a promise to Jesus that you'll read, read. Don't break that promise. Don't take this lightly. This is not about just anything, Jesus says. This is about a divine decrees. This is about giving us, Triune God, the field to let us accomplish the work of creation and redemption by how? Bringing sanctification. That's what's coming. That's what our God is asking of us. Are you willing? Are you willing to begin to live this abundant life? That's what Jesus wants to know. Volume 16, 7:24, 19:23. Everything is written. Everything is formed. Everything is sealed in the human will. And if it is so that the human will only because I, God, casted in it the seed, the likeness to mine. Do you understand Genesis 3:15? The seed of Mary, the likeness of Jesus. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is we live in the divine will. That means to become like Jesus, image and likeness. Think yourself of what my divine will must be within myself. Imagine. And what it must be if the soul lets herself be possessed by my most holy divine will. What is this life that Jesus wants to give us? What is it? It's nothing that we've seen in the saints. The saints showed us how to do the will of God. But to live in the will of God, this is what he says. He says the divine will is the Son, okay? And in this Son is where God dwells. He says the saints will form a halo around the Son, adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God and worshiping God. He says the little children of the holy divine will enter into the Son and participate in God. That's sharing in divinity. That the priest says every day a holy mass. And it's going to be given to us if we want it. And then God's going to say, don't take this lightly. Don't take this as just another book, another saintly thing, another good thing, another holy thing. This is about sharing in divinity. And what God is asking of us, are you willing to begin to live this abundant life? Are you? That's what God is asking. Volume 16, 7, 30, 19:23. The rays of my divine will. Okay, empty the soul who enters into the divine will. Okay, so of what is human, empties the soul of what is human and fills the soul with what is divine. So one can see in the soul the beautiful rainbow of my divine attributes. Therefore, my daughter, enter often into my divine will. This is why we do our prevenient act in the morning. Fusing ourselves with the Holy Trinity, fusing ourselves with Jesus and Mary and Louisa, fusing ourselves with creation, redemption, and sanctification, fusing ourselves into this great gift of the divine will. He says, one can see in the soul the beautiful rainbow of my divine attributes, and therefore, my daughter, enter often. This is where you do your rounds throughout the day, your acts throughout the day. Enter often into my divine will. Receive the tints and the various colors of the likeness of your God. This is what's coming. It's a new beginning for mankind. Our Lord is getting everything ready. And he's asking us, are you willing to say fiat to this? And when we say yes, he goes, prove it. Prove it. He says, enter often into my divine will. Volume 16, 8:5, 19:23. As you enter into the divine will and admit your thoughts, your words, your works, your steps, your reparations, your pains, your love, your thanksgiving, the supreme volition shall coin all your acts and they shall receive the divine image. This is your copper penny, rusty copy penny, with the divine value of the acts that being infinite can make up for everyone and for everything, past, present, and future. Reach everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And have such ascendancy over the divinity as to make this supreme will descend upon earth, bringing the goods that it contains. That's our life. That's what Jesus is teaching us. Enter into the divine will. with everything that you think, say, and do. No longer you, but get out of the way, be a victim, get out of the way and say to Jesus, you reign in me. Jesus says, will you be my skin? Yes, Jesus, I will be your skin. Gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening, speak in my speaking, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing. I want you, Lord, to reign in me completely. I want nothing for me, all for you. He says this. Why? To make the supreme will descend upon earth. They're finally, like the Blessed Mother, where they're fiat me, God could descend and bring about redemption. Now with Louisa, with her living in the divine will, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, now the supreme will come on earth as it is in heaven. But Jesus says to Louisa, I want an army of people. That's us. Again, that's why I love Joan of Arc. She is this young girl who obeys God, leads an army, and conquers another army. We're going to do more than that. You know who God said that to? God said that to Sister Mary Ephraim. He said, you're more than a Joan of Arc. And you're going to fight a bigger battle than Joan of Arc. But there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. The kingdom is coming. Great things are in store. Great things are happening. Great things are about to begin. And God is asking us to begin to live this abundant life. This is what he's asking. He says, it shall happen to metal, to gold, to silver. Until the image of the king is coined on it, it cannot be given the value of currency, but as soon as it is coined, it requires the value of currency, and it circulates throughout the whole kingdom. There is no town or village or important place in which it does not enjoy its prestige of currency, and there is no creature who can live without it. Whether it is metal is vile or precious, it does not matter, as long as the image of the king is impressed on it. It runs throughout the whole kingdom. It enjoys supremacy over all. And it makes itself loved and respected by all. In the same way, everything that the soul does in my divine will, since the divine image is coined on it, runs through heaven and earth as the supremacy over all, does not refuse to give itself to whoever wants it, and there is no place in which its beneficial effects are not enjoyed. Now, while he was saying this, we prayed together. That's what's happening. Wait till you begin to pray with Jesus and Mary. It's their prayer. Wait till that begins to happen to you. We prayed together, and Jesus led my intelligence to enter into his holy divine will. He's divinizing the intellect. Together, we offer to the Supreme Majesty the homage, the glory, the submission, the adoration of all humanity, past, present, and future, all created intelligences. At the contact with the Supreme Will, a divine image was impressed in the homages and adorations, and they diffused over all created intelligences, all the minds of humanity, past, present, and future. Like many speaking messengers that place themselves in order in the creation, and all of them as though in relations with the Supreme Will. Everything became an echo of the Supreme Will. Wait till you read the Echo Book. Wait till you learn how to pray these prayers from a divine perspective. Don't make up your own prayers. Let Jesus teach you as he taught Louisa. How to pray in the divine will. The more that you read, the more that you study, the more that you put this into practice, the happier you're going to be, the happier God is going to be, the happier all humanity is going to be. So we'll end there and be back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.